Senhor Crutis, transmite as nossas liberações. Glory to the Father, Son, and Spirit. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, the Gospel of today carries the parable of the prodigal son. This is probably the best known of all our Lord's parables. And I think the reason for this is because we can identify ourselves with the prodigal son. And our Lord is speaking straight to our heart. He knows that deep down inside, each one of us knows himself to be just like the prodigal son, a wastrel, somebody granted with many blessings and graces, and spent a great deal of time throwing them away, turning his or her back against God. However, we can also say that this parable of the prodigal son is the richest of all the parables. This, I think, is because it has three quite prominent figures, each one of whom has his story to tell and a lesson to teach each one of us. Obviously, the first one we think about is the prodigal son himself. Then we have the elder brother who is left at home and does all the work and then complains to his father. And finally, we have the figure of the father of them both. And he is to be identified not so much with a human father as with our heavenly Father, God. Well, let's make a start then and consider the prodigal son. I remember in the recollection for the cooperators and people come to recollections making a mention of Edgar Wallace, who's my favourite popular author. He wrote, I believe, 186 books, approximately twice as many as Agatha Christie. And I definitely like him better than Agatha Christie, because every now and again she stops to give everybody a sermon, and I like to keep that prerogative for myself. Of course, Edgar Wallace is trying to put some positive, enlightening idea for our consideration. And in fact, very often, Edgar introduces either as a very prominent figure in the story, or somebody at least who is there but comes and goes, who is really autobiographical, it's himself. Because Edgar Wallace himself was an inveterate gambler. He couldn't help himself. He earned a lot of money and he threw it all away on the GGs. So much so that when he died, all his money was spent. In fact, he was bankrupt. But it wasn't very long before the royalties kept flowing in. And he was back in the black again for all the people who inherited his wealth. Now the prodigal son, who is somebody who is like Edgar Wallace, inveterate gambler. He asked his father for all the wealth that is coming to him, and then he goes off and proceeds to throw it all away. Now, of course, the lesson is that at some stage or another, the prodigal son, who is a person, if you like, who personifies the sinner, eventually comes to his senses. Now we have to examine, what is it that brought the prodigal son to his senses, my brothers and sisters? What is it that made the prodigal son shake his head, say, what am I doing here? What is this mess I've got myself into? How did it come about? What am I going to do? And it was the poverty he found himself in. And the fact that nobody was ready to help him. Except that when he began to reflect on his father and his father's house. And he said to himself, even the servants in my father's house have enough to eat. And here am I in a pigsty and dying of hunger. And I would be ready to eat the scraps that are thrown to the pigs. But nobody here is ready to give them to me. So he thinks of his father. And we've got to remember that the father in the parable represents our loving Father God. So here is the very first lesson the prodigal son is presenting to us for our consideration. We're all the time in the presence of our Father God. So the prodigal son says to himself, I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. Take me as one of your hired servants. And he sets off with our spirit of repentance, which we know is what will bring us back in our Father's favour and ensure that we enjoy eternal life. Now, what is it that prompted the prodigal son? It was his poverty. It was his hardship. It was his hunger. And then above all, the remembrance of the generosity of his Father. So on the one hand, we often rebel against the hardships, the poverty, and the misery of human life. I have to realize that these are going to jig our elbow, persuade us that we're wasting our time apart from our Father God. And we have to make our way back to our Father God with a spirit of sorrow and repentance. Primarily then, it is a remembrance of our loving Father, God. Then when he gets home, his father kills the fattest calf and encourages everybody to be filled with joy and sing and dance. And he puts a new ring on his son's finger and new shoes on his feet. And then at this, the second elder son is filled full of resentment. Here am I, working all this time, year after year, day after day, working my finger to the bone, and nobody kills a fattest calf for me. So his father has to go to him and console him also. And why is this? It is because the elder son is not working with rectitude of intention, out of love for his father. He's not working with true selfless generosity, but out of a kind of sense of obligation or duty. We should consider that our work of every day is an enormous privilege to be able to work for so good a Father, full of sweetness and understanding and generosity. Again, the older son should be thinking of his father. And so should we, my brothers and sisters, when we do our work of every day. Don't work reluctantly. Don't work as if, oh, blow, I've got to tackle this job again. Why have I got landed with this problem? No, we have to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to demonstrate to you that I can offer you great service offer my life for you and all the efforts that I make every day in doing my work. So as we go to work every morning, my brothers and sisters, as we set off, we have to make that morning offering, an act of self-surrender, an act of generosity. And with a spirit of thanksgiving, they were given a wonderful opportunity to serve our Father God with love. To remember in the way, and I think I may have read it out in last week's meditation, thank God for everything, because everything is good. We've got to take this to heart. Everything that happens to us in life comes from the hands of our loving Father God. He provides us, as each day goes by, with an opportunity for merit. And remember, my brothers and sisters, that it's only while we are alive on this earth that we can perform meritorious acts. And this merit, who is it for? Well, in the first place, to make up for all our many sins. Perhaps as the older brother, we ought to be doing our work to make amends for the prodigal son, who is just seeking pleasure all the time. But we can ourselves be offering our work of every day for all the people in the entire world, for sinners everywhere, for the holy souls in purgatory. We can be releasing many souls from purgatory. We can be obtaining spirit of repentance in thousands of sinners across the world if we know how to offer our work to God with a generous heart and with that spirit of thanksgiving, knowing that our work of every day is a privilege. Now we come to think of the Father. Of the two sons. Now, with the case of the prodigal son, here's your typical example of any human being on earth who wastes the graces and blessings and goods and talents that is received, throws them away instead of making good use of them. And he has to learn how to be sorry. And then we've got the other son, who's also like other people on earth, who instead of working with a spirit of generosity and lightheartedness and cheerfulness and thanksgiving, work reluctantly in a kind of selfish sort of attitude, working for themselves rather than for God. But now we come to consider the father of both sons. And what do we find? First of all, that when the prodigal son is on his way to his father, ready to say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, I'm not worthy to be called your son." This good father goes out to meet him. But if it's just a purely human father, however does he know when the prodigal son is on his way back? The parable doesn't tell us. It's just that when the prodigal son found himself in the pigsty and began to ruminate on his condition, on his state of abandonment and desolation, with nobody to help him, and he begins to think of his father's house and the servants who looked after so well, even though they're no near relation of his own father. And then he suddenly comes to his senses, sets off. But how does his father, if the father's purely human, know when he's on his way back? The answer, of course, is that the father in the parable stands for our Heavenly Father, God, who is always waiting for us. It isn't that he pops out all of a sudden, just when the prodigal son is approaching. It's because he's on the lookout every single day. Just as Jesus, here with us in the tabernacle, is waiting constantly for us to come and visit him. Do you remember those points in the way when Saint Jose Maria reminds us of those tabernacles where Jesus is there waiting for someone to visit? And how loving our beloved Father, Saint Jose Maria, suggests that we should storm these tabernacles. It was very interesting when our Father came to England and the people took him around in the car around streets of London, and if he saw a steeple or a spire or a church, some description, he either said some words on aspiration, love of God, made the sign of the cross, and people in the car said, "Oh Father, that's not a Catholic church, our Lord isn't there." Our Father then replied, "Well, he should be there. And I'm waiting for when he will be." So there is our Father God, waiting continually for us to come back to him. This is so important to realize about our Heavenly Father. It's a beautiful aspect of our divine filiation. To know that we have a Father who is waiting for us constantly. So do we live our life with this awareness that our Father God is on the lookout for us all the time? I mentioned how earlier on, speaking about the elder brother, that we are often carrying out our daily work in much the same way as that elder brother. And it was clear that the elder brother was not thinking of his father when he was working. He was thinking of how hard it was, or possibly how boring it was when he was carrying out his daily work. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to stop and think. If we have a loving Father continually on the watch out to receive the offering of our work, are we not going to do it more assiduously, more lovingly, more perfectly? Are we not going to say, do you think this work is pleasing to you, my Heavenly Father? How are you pleased with my work so far? Do you like what I have done? Have I done it as a true son should carry out his work of every day? Or of a good daughter with generosity and with sweetness and even with cheerfulness? Now, I've been looking for some nice little prayer with which to end our meditation, and I've come up with some words from Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, the little flower. Now, it's a little bit, what you would say, feminine, but we'll have to accept that, I'm afraid. Oh Jesus, it is true that I am not always faithful, but I never become discouraged. I cast myself into your arms. And like a little dewdrop, I sink deeper and deeper into your chalice. O divine flower of the field. And there I find all I have lost, and much more besides. Not exactly like the act of sorrow of the prodigal son, but it might quite well might be our act of sorrow. And she finishes off by saying, yes, oh my God, I am happy to feel little and weak in your presence, and my heart remains in peace. I am glad to feel so imperfect and to need your mercy so much. When we calmly accept the humiliation of being imperfect, your grace, O Lord, returns at once. So we see how she prayed, how Our Lady also prayed. Who had no imperfections even, or sins, was continually in the presence of a loving Father God. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations you communicated to me this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel.